Hello, welcome to another Pharmacy and Practice podcast. We've got a very good friend and colleague, Alex Shukla, on the line, all the way from Lisbon in Portugal, no less. So we spoke a few months ago on the podcast, and really interesting chat. Alex is doing some fantastic work in the digital health space, and particularly dental digital space. And he's very cleverly identified an opportunity in pharmacy to deliver those services potentially. And he's got some, you know, really interesting opportunities. So shameless plug at the start, Alec, we should, you know, if you're interested in, you know, expanding your business and, you know, looking at new and innovative ways to generate revenue, give, you know, put the details in the show notes and give him a buzz. He's a great guy and very helpful. But today I was selfishly quite interested to have a chat about some of the things that have been in the news, not least how, I think broadly, Alec, how digital health has evolved through the pandemic. I mean, March seems like a blink of an eye ago, really. We're almost at Christmas, almost a new year. So much has changed. The business landscape across the board, never mind pharmacy, is unrecognizable, really. And a lot of why we're speaking is because there's an opportunity for digital health solutions. But the big news that is, it's not surprising news. I mean, we knew it was coming because Amazon have been, putting in applications for trademarks globally around the world. I think they put in Australia, perhaps India as well, and they've just opened their first pharmacy in America recently. So what are your thoughts, Alec? How have you been since we spoke last, and what's your take, I suppose, on 2020 now that the dust is settling slightly?
No, thank you. So we've been well. There's more interest in digital health solutions, but I think that the key point of Amazon is quite a timely one, because obviously they've got a customer first, digital first business model, and they you know, they've got the Amazon lockers. You can pick things up remotely, and I think if we look at like the news at the moment, we've got traditional retailers like Arcadia, Debenhams, you know, the twin threats of online commerce and the pandemic was just too much for them, really. So I think if there was any impetus or reason to try and create a more digital customer journey and a more digital customer relationship for pharmacies, I mean, now has never been the time more. And I really think that like pharmacies are in the perfect opportunity to really embrace their presence as like a essentially digital health hub, which can, you can get diagnosis done in the pharmacy, but at the same time also you can then get the medication and the therapeutics you need. But all of this has to come from the pharmacist sort of shifting their model and the mindset, really shifting their mindset to think of like, okay, each customer or each patient is a relationship, and how do I add value to that relationship over time, and how do I communicate with that person? Because I think still many pharmacies are not embracing email, SMS and customer records. So I think now is the time to start putting these things in place, because then you can move on to have, you know, enhanced diagnostics inside the pharmacy. Like, for example, we've just launched a smart digital dental camera, which can then be used for digital assessments within the pharmacy. But I just really think that it's about the pharmacy rethinking and accelerating what it might have done over 5 years and bringing that over in the next 12 months, really. Because otherwise, if you don't have sort of services happening and a kind of digital customer relationship, then the Amazon Prime model is just going to get you, really, isn't it? You know, so.
Yeah, they're gonna beat you on the supply function. I mean, I spoke to Harry McQuillan from CPS a while ago, and we did a podcast, and really, really fascinating pharmacist. And of course, he's chief exec of Community Pharmacy Scotland. And he made the point that, you know, a lot of this is down to advocacy at the higher level, but there's also quite a lot, you know, well, it's within our own gift as community pharmacists, what we do at the coalface too. But he said to me, you know, he recognized that the bricks and mortar traditional pharmacy in the UK is not the cheapest way to get a drug to the patient, But when you factor in, you know, potential added value services and so on and so forth, the return on investment for you as an owner and also for the government, it takes on a different light, really. I do think that's where your traditional pharmacies need to go. I mean, we've been saying this for ages, but I mean, the pandemic has really just put this into fast forward. How do you think pharmacy owners are feeling about that potential transition right now?
It's not about being the cheapest, right? It's about having the relationship and being trusted, because, okay, from the patient's perspective, it's not going to make a great deal of difference in the cost, and they'd rather go to a place that they trusted and could have that relationship with. I think pharmacy owners, they're under stress, and I think they've got lots of pressures, and I think that they're thinking, you know, how can I, you know, make up for some lost sales and invest into different things. But the benefit is there are additional services where you don't actually have to invest anything, but you know it can be done with quite low cost digital tools. But for example, setting up an email list, or, you know, capturing the emails or the SMS from people within your pharmacy. But I think there should also be pharmacy owners that are excited about, like, the role that they can actually play, because they are essentially the only health clinic or health location which doesn't require an appointment. And at the same time, you know, you're not constrained in the number of things you could kind of provide, really, isn't it? You know, so it's a dual edge, but the landscape is shifting for sure.
And totally, we do, you know, pharmacy practice is a small business, right? And we do our own. We're pretty good at marketing, I think. I mean, if you've seen our posts, then the marketing works, I guess. And we try to be really, like, upfront and honest about. Well, I have to be, I'm a pharmacist, but I would be anyway, about how we, you mentioned an email list. I think that's important. And where I'm going with this is, I guess, a bit of public service broadcasting, maybe, around, like, what does that look like? And I was just going to use the example of, we started doing webinars recently, and they've been, to be honest, I mean, I shouldn't say it, but they've been surprisingly popular. You know, we've got into the hundreds of people registering and attending as well. And You mentioned an email list, so we're offering those webinars, and we get really good speakers and we get lots of attendees. But I must admit, I have been careful to you know, add options, very GDPR compliant options around, you know, did you like it? Give us some feedback. How can we improve it for the next time? But also, actually, would you like to be added to a mailing list to hear about future events?
100%, but I don't know why companies should be scared of these things, because people want value added information to them. And I think with the pharmacy, let's say, for example, it's not about having a blanket email list, it's about segmentation. So let's just say, for example, you've got like an audience which is in your pharmacy, and you know that certain people are, let's say, diabetic, and let's say, for example, you know they're on the diabetic medication, you know that they're in more risk of, let's say, for example, inflammation, infection, different things like this. And if you had particular services or screening, for example, which could be free, you know, for oral health screening or for, like, you know, different wellness screening to see, do you have these conditions? And then if you did, here are some packs which we have. I mean, you're helping the person, basically. You're helping the person with prevention. So I think, number one, absolutely need to be collecting an email list. And the second thing is, like, actually layering your other information on top of that email list to segment based on, you know, goals. Pregnancy care is another one, you know, like, for example, like teenage, adolescent, you know, wellman stuff, you know, there's so many different things. And it's about knowing your customers and at the same time having interesting propositions to engage with them for. Because many people, just like you said, webinar, right? Many people will be interested maybe in, like, a local health webinar on a particular subject, or smoking cessation, or different things like this. There's different ways to engage, and it doesn't have to cost money, right? You know, but it's a question of simply having that approach that, okay, if you come to engage with my pharmacy digitally or physically, we're going to have a relationship, and you may not need me all the time, but when you do need me, you can engage, buy something digitally, or you can come in physically, or I can ship it to you. But it's having that mindset that it's just not walk in, walk out, and hopefully someone else walks in, basically, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think the key for me anyway, as a business owner now, is to keep checking that people, you know, keep checking that people want to still be subscribed to those things, and keep asking for feedback. And, you know, I guess it's a concept that might be introduced here is the marketing funnel, you know, where you reach out quite wide at the top, and maybe do webinars, or, you know, if you owned a pharmacy, you could, you know, you could go to the likes of another plug, Pharmacy Mentor, for some social media marketing. And that, as a pharmacy, if I owned a pharmacy, that's what I would be doing. I would be going to the likes of Sam Alley and saying, look, I've got such and such a budget, because you can't. I don't know, I'd be keen to hear what your view is, but I think the days of just relying on the sort of organic or latent footfall of people in and out of your bricks and mortar pharmacy are gone.
That's hoping for almost accidental commerce, basically, right? Like, you're hoping that someone will come in and want something and buy something, okay? And for sure, like, it's something called life cycle marketing, which is basically where you think of each customer relationship from the point that someone is interested in a service. So let's just say, for example, diabetes, for example, right? Like, so at some point then they are, say, pre-diabetic, and they've got the risk factors that they might go diabetic. So that's like at the early stage. There could be engagement information about prevention, weight loss, all that kind of stuff, which are all services which you can provide in a pharmacy. Then let's say it's early diabetic, so it's like at the point of diagnosis. So the question is, this person's scared, they're worried, they're anxious, they don't know what to look at, they're worried about all sorts of things, blood testing, diet, many different things, monitoring, implication to other organs. So then it's a question of, like, at that relationship, what is their trusted health information? Maybe there are webinars for recently diagnosed diabetics through the pharmacy or different things like this, and like different packs to help you maybe try and get off medication or different things. Then it's like ongoing management. So that's like, okay, you now are a diabetic and you are on your regular insulin, but along that, what other things are you being supported with? So it's through that life cycle, and you know that, okay, someone with diabetes is going to develop maybe a foot condition or something else. So what care packages do we have for them on that? So it's called life cycle marketing. It's having that approach. And if you understand that, you can then interact with them digitally, physically, through a mobile, you know, phone number, but it's building those pathways. And what I'm just saying is that, like, if pharmacy starts thinking about, okay, what are the different pathways for, say, pregnancy, or for, say, asthma, or say dental, or for other things, for example, and then along that pathway, what services would I want to kind of like offer in terms of screening, and what packages may I want to offer in terms of subscription, ongoing care, access to, you know, because people just want solutions and they want to improve their health. And the thing is, the pharmacy, if they are a bit more proactive in creating packages and options, and like people like PharmaDoctor do this kind of stuff, you know, like then it's going to be much more likely that the person then, okay, I'm now diabetic and now I'm interested in weight loss, or, you know, all these things can happen. But honestly, all Amazon has is an email list, diet behavior, all those things. They're just building on it brick by brick by brick by brick, right? And they've stacked how many industries on top of that email list. So All we're talking about is a pharmacy taking the customer list and then stacking their health conditions and communicating from them in that way, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with you. And I just wanted to say, like, you know, I think community pharmacy owners or community pharmacists do this and have been doing this for years. You know, this digital health or digital marketing thing for some is probably quite intimidating, maybe. But you know, you ask any community pharmacy owner, let's segment the market and say, let's take, for example, a young mom who comes in with her baby. Newborn, you know, meets the team, has the chat, a few months past, you know that baby's going to be teething. So, you know, I don't think it's about sort of pushing things necessarily. I mean, maybe some folk would be different, but that wouldn't be my style. But it's almost about being there at the right time to give some of your, you know, valuable experience, valuable knowledge as a pharmacist, or a pharmacy technician as well, or a team member actually, and in that moment, like, offer a solution. But what you said about segmenting your market is critical, because if you don't, you know, do that process of sort of get permission and then understand their demographic, predict their needs, and then offer them solution, you know, if you miss any of those steps, it's kind of hard, isn't it?
No, 100%. And what you're just trying to do is care at scale. That's all it is, okay? Using digital solutions to care at scale. And 100%, what you want to make sure is that, like you said, if the young mum comes in and there's the different elements, well, What Amazon is doing is when you go to a page, it knows what your previous preferences were and what you're looking for. So it will show you things around that, right? So in the same way, the pharmacy could easily, if it's like a young mum, they could show things to orientate to young children health or cognitive development or other things like this. And remember, people will pay for things not just to solve sickness, but also to promote the best, right? So for example, young mum, if there was options and you know, good solutions for improving child health, you know, that's not just based around, you know, like sickness, I'm sure they would be interested, you know, percentage would be interested in that. So it's a question of like, if you understand that customer and you have the tools to be able to kind of do that in a scalable way and communicate, you can do so much more. And different pharmacists have natural interests. So some are passionate about asthma care and things, and they can really build more of a, you know, an emphasis on that. And then they could scale that with like virtual asthma clinics or different things like this. The question is finding what you want to do and then using the tools to kind of do that digitally. But if you don't create relationships, like basically digitally or through personality, and you're going to be vulnerable, because then it's just purely transactional, really. So
I know you have interest as a dentist. I mean, is dentistry similar? Because a lot of, you know, a lot of my interactions as a community pharmacist over the years is like, you know, not, I wouldn't be insulting and say worried well. I mean, just generally people who are worried about their health, and just a lot of, yep. A lot of the conversations I remember were just, you know, you're okay, it's going to be okay, reassurance kind of thing. Is that similar in dentistry?
So I mean, in dentistry, like I stopped practice many years ago, but like we do find many people who are interested in their health. You know, they want to kind of keep engaging. One thing that's quite interesting is I used to have a practice in Putney, and I've got patients from me called years ago. They've tracked me down digitally, and they're using our digital tools to kind of keep on top of things because they trust, right? So then they're like, okay, you know, do I really need something? I've been told I need these things, and you know, you get an impartial checkup, and you can kind of see what's going on. But you're going to get that portion of the population that will self-select, that is more wellness orientated. But what you have to understand with customer bases is, it's like 80-20 principle. The 20% of people that are interested in their health and engaged will spend 80% of the revenue in that, right? So then those people will improve their health as much as they can. And maybe some other people who are neglecting will continue to neglect. And I think this is where the whole thing is there's going to be more and more people interested in prevention, improving their health. And if it's easier to access things which can help them do that, they will do that. And I think it's the, you know, pharmacy's owner's job to kind of make it easier. Because honestly, when I think about the level of the range of digital health services available in a pharmacy, you know, from the medic spots, the pharma doctors, to the remote consultations with a pharmacist, to our digital dental wellness and like digital screening, even like, you know, we provide with the smart camera, like oral cancer screening, things like this. I mean, you could never do any of this before, right? Like, and so now you've got like a pharmacy that could do these things and have a click and collect service and use one of those like, you know, smart lockers outside it. Like, really, it's just about having that relationship and expanding your digital presence, really. I think that's an expertise and leadership. I think that's the kind of key opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally agree. And you're mentioning, you know, a lot, quite a few services and stuff. So yeah, as I say, get in touch with Alec to find out more, because some of them are really quite straightforward and easy to engage with, actually. Some are a bit more complex. And I agree, the likes of Pharma Doctor, Medic Spot, all these businesses, you know, selling into community pharmacy are offering ever more intelligent and nimble services, really. And yeah, you can, you know, pharmacy owners can do really quite well out of it. So here's the thing, to finish the chat about Amazon, if we do nothing, how do you think it's going to pan out with Amazon in the UK pharmacy market?
So let's just look at it this way. What Amazon does is it efficiently aggregates customer demand, okay? So existing demand. So let's say there's X number of people who are getting prescriptions. Amazon will start to get, you know, increasing numbers of people to switch to them, because they'll offer them incentives, they'll offer, you know, savings, and an easier customer experience. And so the key thing is, if you do nothing, and if switching to Amazon for your customer is a better solution for them, you've lost, right? So you've got to find ways to build value, create relationships. Like, you know, if you choose us as your repeat as prescription business, you know, we also give these other things and other things like that, you know. But otherwise, what will happen is they will aggregate a lot of the digital commerce, and then what will happen is people will physically go to less places, and then you just see what's happening on the high street, right? Like, it doesn't have to be that way. Pharmacies will never go, but what will happen is the ones which are not performing will struggle, and then you'll have like the bigger ones in different areas. But it doesn't just, it doesn't need to go this way, because you can expand, you can communicate with pretty much any patient digitally, and you've got like places like Mumsnet or other places where you've got huge digital communities. And if you're able to engage in thought leadership in a particular area of health, you know, people can order from you digitally, and they can, you know, access different things. But you've got to actually do something. I think you have to create a voice, and you've got to do something, really.
And what's your take on digital advertising for pharmacy owners as well? I mean, do you think, you know, is the return on investment good enough?
Great question. So it absolutely can be, but the way you've got to think about it is your customer value. So there's two things. There's the digital cost of advertising, there's customer value. Okay. So let's look at digital lifetime customer value. Well, if you've got your customer value is like the prescriptions, it's also maybe some parapharmacy stuff, it's maybe some digital services inside the pharmacy, maybe COVID testing, maybe travel certificates, maybe weight loss services, digital dental. And if you've got all those services which you know you can provide to different customers, and you know that revenue per person over a year or something is X, then as long as your digital marketing cost is less than that, you can invest this and then put your communications in place. You can only do this with email marketing and SMS marketing, because once you've got that relationship, you can engage them to those next services. So if you have that in place, yeah, digitally market, because you can expand it. If you don't have those in place, you will lose money, basically, right? Like,
That's the key. Yeah, so you're saying, yeah, and I agree. I've never used digital social media ads, but I may consider it in the future. I agree, unless there's a purpose. So the purpose being to build your email subscription list in an upfront and honest way, I think is absolutely right.
By adding value, offering different things. I mean, we have one of our platforms is called Straight Teeth Direct. It's cosmetic teeth straightening remotely, and we sell like aligners for a third of the cost of in-clinic. Now, with that, we invest quite a lot in digital marketing. Then people do digital consultations. A percentage of those will then, you know, get a diagnostic report. Then a percentage of those will then choose to do the straightening. But we know all the steps, so we're able to then invest in kind of different areas. But I'll say to you that, like, even these days, like TV advertising, right, like on Sky, quite surprisingly low cost, you understand, you know, like it's now a similar price to like Google, for example, and you can target populations in a specific area, things like this. But you need to get your internal customer relationship and that internal digital journey mapped. Once you've got that, honestly, there's no limit to what you can do. But if you just need to get that relationship and that thinking of the pathways within the pharmacy and the relationships and what that journey looks like and what products and services fit along that. Once you've got that, you can digitally amplify it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, and I think I could be wrong, but I welcome conversation on social media from pharmacists or, you know, community pharmacy owners. But my gut feeling, knowing the market, is that the cultural step is one of, like I said before, that need to invest in marketing. It's never really, well, it hasn't been there before, but there's never been such a pressing need to be like, right, we need to set aside a certain amount of our revenues or profits to reinvest into marketing in our local community. I think that's the cultural shift that needs to happen, you know.
Agreed. But you can do it at basically no costs, right? So like there's things like MailChimp, for example, which has, you can generate free, you can do free emails from there, and you can also segment your list based on different things. You can use, like, you know, digital text messaging services for like 7p a text or something. And if you've got what you're promoting is correct in terms of certain packages or offers or digital services, I mean, look at COVID testing as one, for example. I would be shocked if you couldn't actually drive a lot of growth in that area or other things like this. And then from that, you can then choose to reinvest parts of that. But I think what I'm trying to say, Jonathan, is that you don't need to look at it as like a loss or something to take out of the money. You can generate revenue, which you can then grow it from, basically. So.
Yeah, cool. And what's been happening in your business since we spoke last? So you mentioned a device, you held up a device there. Do you want to tell us about that? What's that all about?
So obviously, like digital health in pharmacies is, you know, it's not new, but it's quite new. And then digital dental services is like just, you know, it's very, very new. One thing that we were always working on is like how to basically allow early diagnosis within a pharmacy and how to enable early diagnosis at home. So what we've just released is our dental scope, which is a little smart camera, which you can then see and tooth level detail with like magnification. And we've created an iPad based station, a bit similar to like MedicSpot, but like for dental assessment. And the thing is, like, so many people, for example, might have early conditions, which they then can buy the right products from within the pharmacy, or they might be worried about an ulcer, or they might have a different problem, or be concerned about a patch which might be cancerous or something. So using this, it can just, the pharmacy can build relationships by like digitally, you know, helping people, and at the same time the person starts to understand, wow, I can access all these different services at the pharmacy. Then they buy their, you know, Orajel, Corsodil, small brushes, whatever, like this, to kind of engage. So what we're just trying to do is help raise awareness within the pharmacy of the different services, because from this they can then do the consults, and they can buy, like, you know, other things like, you know, the teeth grinding splints or other stuff like that, basically.
And it's my nature just to ask the blunt question. So what I mean, I'm interested with this stuff that you're selling into pharmacies, what's the deal for the pharmacy owner? You know, what's the, I know you won't be able to tell us everything, but
our goal is to be a partner with pharmacies, basically, right? So then they, as they unlock a new opportunity within their pharmacy, they generate revenue, we generate revenue. So we don't charge the pharmacy anything. And what we're looking at for the right pharmacies that have already, like, it's called an internal digital journey and are looking to expand services, then we're interested in talking with them about helping introduce, you know, these digital screening tools within the pharmacy. But yeah, it's a simple thing, right? And we just want to be one of the services which the pharmacy can communicate to their community about different things they're offering. And then at the same time, our goal is to help the pharmacy not just sell our service, but also sell more of their oral health products and other things, and potentially gain a reason to get more people kind of coming into the pharmacy, potentially.
Brilliant. And cheeky question, we were speaking about some partnerships you're in process of agreeing for next year. Are you able to tell us about those, or is that top secret?
You'll hear about it afterwards, I'm sure. But like one thing, for example, like, we work with Bupa now, so Bupa pay for our digital dental assessments, and like we're doing some interesting things with another provider in the pharmacy space.
Good for you. Well done. And what about, just to finish, what about I'd like to have you on again. Let's talk in another few weeks and see what else has been going on. What do you think 2021 is going to bring, Alec?
I think 2020 was the year of surprise. So let's be honest, like, everyone was just caught off guard, like all these things, like lockdown never happened before. You know, like all these kind of like shops having to close never happened before. Dealing with pandemic never happened before. 2021's different, right? You know what's coming. The question is, what are you going to do about it, basically? So I think that you'll start to see some very smart operators starting to seize the digital opportunity, starting to push more on different things. And then you'll see other people that were kind of treading water, kind of left by the wayside, essentially. But I think 2021, honestly, it's a wide open playing field, because it's literally resetting kind of like the game for pretty much everyone, right? Everybody's now interacting and buying through their mobile phone. And everybody has the opportunity to communicate via that. And you could even argue pharmacies actually have an head start if they're already being prescription apps or different things like this, communicating with them. So, you know, 2021 is like the year of, like, it's time to run, basically, right? Like,
Brilliant. I love it. That's a great catch, but it's time to run. Yeah. Because, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think there's lots of cliched words, isn't there? Unprecedented. And you know them all. Pivot was another one. And I think the word pivot is quite interesting when we look back on 2020, because lots of companies tried to pivot and they made lots of assumptions around what it was like and how to operate within the digital space. And it's quite different. Like, for example, in our market, there's just not so much money going around, you know, so the investment levels have dropped, but then your costs have dropped as well. So that, as you say, it's 2021 is time to understand that and time to run, really, and look out for the. Sorry, Alec.
Yeah, no, you have to like pick a few kind of like high value services which you're going to provide alongside other things you're going to do, and you have to pick like an angle of, you know, what we're going to focus on and what we're going to build, and just go for it, basically, isn't it?
Cool. What a positive way to end. Listen, thanks very much for coming on again. And as I say, really enjoy speaking to you. Very interesting, insightful. And yeah, let's do it again in another couple of weeks. Be brilliant.
Perfect. Thanks a lot for having me. All the best.
Take care. See you, Alec.